Welcome to Adventuring the Girl Life, where we believe life for every girl should be well lived. Each week, we'll explore tips and techniques to add more adventure to your world, from fitness and self-care to career building and fulfillment in even the most mundane parts of life. So buckle up. I'm your host, Jen Whitmore, certified personal trainer, mom of two, lover of everything pineapple, and your new partner in adventure. Hey, hey, welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I have another great guest with us here today. We are going to be chatting with Amanda Tento, and we are talking about everything SEO. Now, if you are unfamiliar with what SEO is, it is search engine optimization. And what that means is it is making yourself visible online, whether you have a business or a career that you're trying to start, or even if you are a regular person and you don't have a business, you just have regular social media accounts, but you want more people to see the things that you're posting about. So please help me welcome to the podcast this girls, Amanda. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. What's going on today?
Thank you. Not much. Just it's summer and just enjoying the kids sleeping in and, you know, the more relaxed schedule.
Oh,
I'm sure
yeah,
you are too. Yeah.
Me too. We're getting ready to go on vacation and I am thrilled. Like, you are my last podcast for the week and then I'm going on vacation.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I hope you enjoy it. Where are you going?
We're just going to Myrtle Beach. It's not too far from us. We're just doing a quick little getaway so that we can do something else again later in the summer. But yeah. Let's jump right in. And I'm so glad that you were able to join us today. And I know we sort of randomly found each other in a group, but I am super excited about your topic. So take it away.
Yeah. So SEO is, like you said, search engine optimization. And it is important for consumers as well as businesses, because everybody, well, I should say 70% of all searches that are done from desktop computers are done on Google. So that's kind of a crazy statistic. And what that means is, like, you know, you go to your phone or your desktop and you want to know where, like, the best restaurant is that's closest to you, or you want to know where you should get your hair done next, or, you know, what is the best, I don't know, anything near you, you're going to go and you're going to search on Google, and whatever comes up has been optimized. So it's not a mistake that those people that are coming up in the top of your Google search are coming up, you know, there, because people spend a good deal of time and effort and money on getting to that top spot. So I wonder, Jennifer, do you ever scroll through the second or third page of the Google results?
The answer to that is not usually. And like you said, that statistic, that's a staggering number. I mean, that's insane. But we all know it's true. If we, you know, think about our own searches, and to answer your question is, you know, probably not usually. If I'm looking for something super, super specific and I don't find it on the first page, I might scroll to the second page, but it is, I mean, I never go anywhere past the second page, and it's very rare, you know, that I don't find what I'm looking for on page one.
Right. And that's the experience of, I would say, probably 90% of us or 99% of us, unless you are an SEO and you're looking for your clients, you know, ranking, or unless you're a business and you're looking for your own ranking, like, what page am I on? We have tools to find that really easily, but you know, those are the only reasons that people scroll past page one of the Google results. And it's really important for businesses to show up. And I think it's also really important for consumers to know that those businesses have been investing in, you know, showing up in the first few results. So I think that's a really important thing to note. And there are a lot of things involved in SEO. And there's on-page SEO, which is like all of the, you know, fixing all the things that are wrong with your page, keyword research, blogging, that kind of thing. And then there are also off-page SEO, which is going to be backlinking, like kind of exchanging links with other people and, you know, just getting your website listed in directories and all of those things really contributes to your ranking as well. So,
and so, tell us what a backlink is for anybody who's unfamiliar.
Sure. So a backlink is, let's say, Huffington Post were to pick up one of your blog articles, right? Mm-hmm. That would be an amazing injection of what we call SEO juice to your mm-hmm. website. And basically, because of their reputation and their authority on the internet and their kind of SEO score, they're going to give you a backlink to your article, right? Mm-hmm. And then that's going to drive traffic to your site, but it's also going to give Google signals that like, hey, this site is like pretty much a big deal. You know, that's awesome. So that would be an example of a really good backlink. Another backlink, I know you have your business where you help people with fitness while they're traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And another example of that would be, let's say, you know, the Marriott or the Hilton decides that they want to offer your services to their guests. That would be a really good backlink for you. Like if they were to be linking to your website.
Yeah, that's awesome. So give me an example. Like how would girls, and guys, how would girls and guys go after something like that? How would you be able to get a backlink from somebody?
So the easiest way is to send them an email and just explain, you know, what you do and how, you know, how your blog post or your services or anything like that could benefit their audience. And a lot of times it's that easy. But you know, sometimes you do have to follow up and that kind of thing, make sure that you're following up with, whomever you're sending that email to.
Wow. Okay. All right. So we now know about backlinks. That's really interesting. I actually have started doing that on my own website with a few of the blogs that I have. So it is something that's pretty new to me, but it is something that I have been looking a little bit more into. And I know, you know, offline we were talking about Google My Business. That's something else that I have just added. I need to update the new services that we have because Google My Business has my Jen Whitmore training page up, mm-hmm. but not the new services, Road Warrior Wellness Concierge. So I need to update that. So tell me what it is that you're doing with that.
Yeah. So right now I am actually running a 4-day Google My Business challenge to help people start their Google My Business page, learn about it, learn how to use it properly, and learn how to use that to kind of blow past their competitors in the rankings. So
now you've already started that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're about halfway through.
Okay. So maybe we could join the next one that you do. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be great. I mean,
awesome.
I thought that there was going to be maybe like 10 people interested in this challenge, and I have close to 70.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so it was a little bit of a surprise, but the thing is, this is one of Google My Business, I feel like, is one of the most underutilized tools by businesses because you're going to show up on the map, you're going to show up in searches, and if you're properly optimizing it and posting, you know, fresh content to it, it's almost basically like a Facebook feed. So if you're feeding that page fresh content, then Google is more likely to serve that to people that would be interested. And they're also going to, you know, like as a consumer, if I see a coffee shop that literally just posted a special, you know, a special offer, and I see one that's like, whatever, our hours are this, I'm going to go to the one most likely that posted the cool picture and the special offer.
Sure. So it's something that we need to keep up with, just like our regular social media.
Yes. It definitely needs to be managed. And you can also, this is one of the most underutilized parts of it as well, is that it's a place for your reviews to live. So whether you have a service-based business or whether you have a, you know, a location-based business, it's a place for you to collect reviews from your clients and from your audience. And also as a consumer, giving businesses that feedback is really, really crucial to their success. So anytime you go to a place, I highly encourage you to, you know, pop in a, you know, 5-star review if you really enjoyed it, or, you know, if you didn't enjoy it, give them that feedback. And then for the businesses, responding to those reviews is also really critical.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that that's something that we, I guess, like as a society as a whole, we don't really do a whole lot. We're not really great at that. And I am completely guilty. You know, I have these favorite podcasts that I listen to that I have to like physically like make myself remember to go and do reviews just because I feel like it's not really convenient. And I don't mean time-wise. I mean, like you have to remember to do it and then go to a specific place and click this button, but oh wait, no, it's not there. I got to go back and click it here. It's sort of irritating personally, I feel like, for podcasts. But you know, those reviews, like you said, are very crucial. And a lot of times, you know, we have great experiences. Just this weekend, this past weekend, my family and I were in Philly. And we just took like a little weekend trip to get away. We stayed at a fantastic hotel. We ate at a great dinner. You know, we had a great time. I'm like, I didn't leave any reviews anywhere. You know, yeah. I'm like, it's just something that we don't always think about, but it is so, so very helpful to the businesses, and especially people who are smaller, you know, like Marriott, they've got it going on. But
right.
Entering the Girl Life podcast, we love your reviews.
Yeah.
So, I totally know what you mean. So my next question for you is, how much time do you put into keeping your Google My Business afloat?
That's a trick question. So I don't put as much time into mine as I should. It's kind of like the shoemaker's children never have shoes kind of thing. But I do manage 10 Google My Business accounts for other clients. And what I will do is I will post once a week, and one of them I post 3 times a week. I think that's a little too much just because of the kind of business that it is, but that's what they like. But yeah, I think just posting one time per week, making sure that your hours are up to date for any holidays and that kind of thing. It's not really a super high maintenance thing. Like, it's nowhere near as high maintenance as Instagram or Facebook or anything like that, but it's just getting yourself into that habit.
Oh, wow. Okay. So not that bad. You know, I think that we always hear how much we should be posting when and where. And it seems, especially because we need to do engagement as well, it seems so time consuming. But if we actually break it down, you know, it's just like a few minutes here and there. We could do it all, you know, maybe in 30 minutes or an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not even require us to do that every single day, but maybe once a week, depending on, you know, what we're doing. So, you know, it's not as time consuming as we think it is. We just need to kind of overcome that, you know, that mental state. So you mentioned managing. Do you coach people on this as well as provide services for them?
Yes, I do also do some coaching as far as Google My Business and SEO. It just depends on everyone's situation is completely different. Every website is completely different, and every, you know, business is really different. So, but I do some coaching one-on-one if that's something that people are interested in.
Okay. And we'll make sure to put all of that information in the show notes, and Amanda will mention it at the end of the show, you guys. So don't worry about it if you're running or driving right now. So tell me what else we can do for our SEO. We want to rank, you know, like you said earlier, on the first page, if not in the first couple of spots. What are some things that we can do to actually get those rankings?
Yeah. So definitely keywords is probably one of the most important things. Making sure that you're looking into what keywords you actually want to rank for. So think about your perfect customer, and they're going to sit down and they're going to Google you. Okay. They're going to Google a term, a search phrase. Mm-hmm. And for you, it might be how to stay in shape while traveling, right? That would be mm-hmm. what people would probably search to find your business. So how to stay in shape while traveling, and then you're going to put that in. And I actually use a tool, which I love, called Keywords Everywhere.
Okay.
And it's a Chrome extension, and it will help you tremendously to get a leg up on your keyword research. So you're just going to put in, like, you could go to Google after you install the Keywords Everywhere plugin. you're going to go to Google, you're going to type in, you know, how to stay healthy while traveling or how to exercise when traveling. And basically what's going to happen is it's going to give you a little list on the right-hand side that's also going to give you the search volume. It's going to give you the competition. So it's going to tell you whether it's a really competitive keyword that's hard to rank for, or if it's a pretty easy keyword to rank for.
And what is this website?
It's Keywords Everywhere.
Oh, okay. So www.keywordseverywhere.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's actually an extension for Chrome.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So you're just going to add that into your Google Chrome browser, and it will just kind of do it every Google search you do from that point forward. It's going to give you all of that information. Even if you're searching for like a restaurant or something, it's going to tell you what other people search for, what the search volume is, and all that good stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's awesome.
So, yeah. That's probably one of the biggest tools. You also want to make sure that your content is longer. So even on your homepage or your about page or anywhere, you want to have probably, I would say, a minimum of 500 words. And the longer that you can, the better for any blog post and anything really, because Google is really all about content. They've shifted a lot from just, you know, having a couple keywords here and there like they did years ago. And they really want to see that your page is actually really about this, and you know, you just got to focus on those keywords.
Okay. So let's transition a little bit. As I told you, you know, off mic, we focus on a lot of basically improvement here. You know, we talk about mm-hmm. careers, we talk about self-care, nutrition, et cetera. And so not everyone here owns a business. Now we want to focus on, you know, improving our careers, and some of us are business owners. We want to improve our businesses. But for those of us who are here for other reasons besides those, why would SEO be important to us?
Definitely, it's going to be what you're getting back from your Google searches. And it's also going to kind of shape what you do and how you do things without you even knowing it. You know, okay. Like I said, like when you search for a nail salon near you, most likely that nail salon has optimized their page to show up in those results. Let's see. The other thing is in social media, the things that you get served are going to be affected by SEO as well. So, for example, Pinterest, they do like different algorithms and things like that. There are so many different things are affected by SEO in so many different ways. And it's almost like an invisible, I don't know what you would call it. What would be a good word for that? It's like, just like this invisible thing that's happening in the background that nobody really knows about or talks about, but it's really affecting everything that you do. So,
yeah. Okay. So for example, maybe if someone who didn't have a business, they did a little bit, like something super simple, a little bit of SEO, like specific hashtags on their Instagram, then mm-hmm. they will be able to see more of that stuff that interests them. And
right.
those people in turn will also be able to see their stuff. So it's just more connection to the things that you are interested in, that you want to research, et cetera.
Yep. It basically all comes back to those keywords, you know? So you're using those keywords in searches, you're using those keywords, you know, in Pinterest, you can actually search, or they do like the hashtags now. You can, LinkedIn does hashtags now, Facebook, Instagram, you know, everyone uses those hashtags, and those are basically the same thing as, you know, the keywords. So you can follow them and get whatever you want.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so give me, can you give us an example of maybe someone that you have helped recently to give us an idea?
Yeah, so I have a florist out of New York State that she has a service-based business. I wouldn't say it's like a location-based, but we basically went in and kind of completely optimized her page, and her visibility score went way up right away, which was really cool to see that happen so quickly. Normally, in an SEO campaign. It takes about 3 to 6 months to be able to start seeing results.
Wow.
But just fixing some of the things that went wrong kind of on her page and some of the technical issues, we were able to get her ranking a little bit higher right away. So
that's awesome. Okay. So now I'm going to put you on the spot for a minute. And I'm going to ask you a question about Instagram.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Okay. So recently I worked with someone doing some optimization for my Instagram, and my followers went up a lot, but all of my followings also went up. And I found out later on that it happened to be more of the follow for follow thing, which was not what I was looking for and definitely was not happy with once we kind of finished out. And so I kind of stopped that. And now, just because I had so many people that I was following that I did not care anything about, I just, you know, every once in a while, like as I'm scrolling through, I'm like, oh, don't know you, don't know what you're talking about, not interested in what you're selling or what you're posting. So I'll, you know, do the unfollow thing. But it's going to take me a long time because there's so many people. So how can we avoid that? And I guess my follow-up question is it possible? Is it possible for us to gain more of a following without having to follow all of these other people that we don't care about?
Yes. So going back to your concern about, following or unfollowing a lot of people at one time, I'm going to share with you an app that I use. It's called Followers and Unfollowers.
Uh-huh.
And I have an Android. I'm not sure if it's an Apple app or not, but it's basically just called Followers and Unfollowers. So you can literally you basically sign into your Instagram through this app, and you can unfollow everybody that's not following you. So if you are heavy on followers or following and lower on followers, that will at least get you to balance it out. But it also, you can also kind of sort it by followers and then just really easily like click their profile and then say unfollow. So that should save you some time. You can do, I think, about 50 people at a time.
Okay. So I'm looking on the app store right now, and I'm not seeing followers and unfollowers, but there are a lot of other apps that I think are similar that will do the same thing.
Yep. Yeah. So just use any one of those. I would use whatever one is like the most highly rated, because that means that more people have experienced it and had success with it.
Sure.
Which goes back to our conversation earlier, but but yeah, so that would be the first thing that I would suggest. So that way you're not like painstakingly going through and unfollowing people that you didn't really want to follow in the first place. Mm-hmm. The other technique that I really suggest is if you're trying to grow your Instagram, set aside 15 minutes, like 2 to 3 times a day. Okay. So what you're going to do during this 15 minutes is you're going to go to people that basically have the same business or same kind of account that you do. Okay. Then you're going to go to their followers. You're going to see who's following them and look at their, comments and things like that. See who is engaged, in, you know, their feed. And then you're going to like and comment on a lot of those people's pictures. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because what that's going to do is it's going to give them signals that, you know, you're interested in them. It is about engagement. It's not about following to follow people or to get them to follow you back. I think that's a really bad strategy, because ultimately people are just going to go and get one of these apps and unfollow you.
Yeah, that's not what, and that's proven with a lot of the newer technology that has come out, a lot more of the information that we now have, that even for advertisers, companies do not care if you have, 1 million followers. They want to know if you have an engaged audience. So the follow for follow thing has been dead for a long time. That's why I was, not happy with what had happened on my own account. That's also, that's been, like I said, that's been dead for a long time, but even the amount of followers is not important anymore. So now we've moved on as, you know, things have gotten more sophisticated. We're now caring about engagement because that's really what matters. And so if we are looking for engagement, then we also need to give engagement. You know, that kind of goes back to our previous conversation about leaving the reviews for people. We need to get more engaged on social media. I think up to this point, we all, you know, everybody's all complaining about how much we're on our phones, et cetera, and how lonely people are, blah, blah, blah. But it is mainly because we're just using it sort of like as a miniature TV. You know, we just go and view and see what we want, but we don't actually communicate with people. And so that is, I think, our next step, you know, forward is start communicating with people, you know, make friends online. Mm-hmm. That sounds kind of silly, but this is where we are. You know, all of our things that we do for the majority of everything is online. So why not make it a real thing?
Right. And you see that in all of the shifts that are happening in social media. So probably about 3-4 months ago, Facebook basically stopped showing business postings, business page postings in the Facebook feed. And they went to groups. So yes. I get like 50 group notifications a day and I don't see anybody's Facebook page posts. So That is a really, really big shift. And it's all about community and it's all about forming those relationships. And Facebook has realized that, like, hey, people don't want to be, you know, just plastered with this stuff all the time. They want to be able to connect and find the resources that they need through pure communication. And that's the same with Instagram. It's just they basically changed recently also how much business accounts are showing up in the feed as well. So if you've noticed a drop in your engagement or a drop in your anything, Instagram recently had a change where they kind of shifted more to the personal profile showing up. So all of this to say, you have to, if you have a business account or if you have any type of like account where you're promoting something or trying to gain followers, you've got to be engaged.
Yeah, we have to take that time. But again, like we said earlier, it doesn't take that much time. You know, being engaged with people, you know, just think about like if you ran into a friend at the grocery store, you know, you might stand there and talk to them for 15 minutes, 30 minutes at the most, you know, before you go on. It's like, oh, you know, hey, friend from church, or hey, friend, I haven't seen you in a while. It's the same thing online. You know, we just make it out to be this huge thing like, oh, I just don't have the time to commit to being on social media that much. And I'm like, well, have you looked at the hour usage on your phone lately? Yeah. You're probably already on there anyways. So get on it. Start talking to people. Communicate.
Yeah, exactly. And if you spend that dedicated 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening and maybe 15 minutes at lunch, that's like a full like 30 to 45 minutes a day. And over the course of a month, you're going to see a big difference in your Instagram engagement.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, you guys. Amanda, thank you so much for being here with us today. I feel like we have learned quite a few new things about SEO engagement and why it's important, especially along the lines of social media. Now, I know that it branches out into so many other things, you know, our websites, our bots, you know, all of this stuff. SEO is a very huge, a vast topic, but we are going to finish out today with Amanda's offers, what she is going to be able to help you guys engage more with. So Amanda, tell us what you've got going on.
Yeah. So in my work as an SEO and just working with you know, people that are trying to grow their business, I've realized that one of the biggest obstacles is cost for SEO campaigns. So what I've done is I've created a marketing membership. So it's called Online Marketing for Moms. My target audience is typically moms. Those are the businesses that I typically help. The name of my business is The Determined Mom, so that makes sense, right? Online marketing for moms.com is basically a membership site where I'm going to be teaching all things marketing. The first topic is definitely SEO, and the course is going to be live within the next week or so. And what is going to happen is everybody that signs up before it actually goes live gets the lifetime membership for $79. And then anybody that signs up after that, is the monthly price is just $99 per month. So it's a huge, huge course right now. I just started laying it out a couple weeks ago, and there are 10 modules and over 60 lessons just for the SEO.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, girls and guys, so we will put all of that information in the show notes, and then that way you can get with Amanda, and then also you can find out once you get with her when her next Google My Business Challenge is, so that you can optimize that as well. So thank you all so much for being here. Amanda, you have been an amazing guest. We appreciate you so much, and we will catch you next time, girl.
All right. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, girls, that is it for today's episode. And I am really excited about our next week's topic as we are beginning our second year. And until next week, adventure on.